Jaisonarn, and welcome to our Satsang Journey, the BAPS North American Yuvak Yuvti Munder podcast. Join us today as we delve into real, relevant, and meaningful conversations. We will explore the timeless teachings of Maharaj and the Guru Parampara, as well as the inspiring stories of those who walk alongside the path with us. We're so glad you could join us today on a conversation about how Haribhaktas inspire others and create positive impact within mandirs. Our first guest today is Hetalben. Hetalben was raised in a satsang household in Philadelphia. After relocating to Los Angeles, she built a successful career as a chiropractor, focused on promoting women's health and supporting pregnant women. She is the mother of two energetic girls under the age of 5. Locally, she is the Balika Mandir parent coordinator and does outreach seva. Welcome, Hetalben.
Thank you, Ashiben. I'm excited to be here.
We also have Shivani Ben, who was born and raised here in Orange County, California. After completing her degree in biology at the University of California, Riverside, Shivani Ben is laying the foundation for a successful career as a physician assistant. She currently serves her community as an emergency medical technician. Her seva is Kishori Regional Coordinator for Los Angeles, San Diego, and Bakersfield. Welcome, Shivani Ben.
Thank you so much for that warm welcome, Ashiben. I'm thrilled to be here.
So let's get started. Both of you grew up in satsang from a very young age, and I'm sure you saw Haribhaktas making an impact not only physically in their seva, but also in their faith. What do you think is the role of a Haribhakta in mandir?
That's a great question, Ashiben. When I do antardrashti and I reflect on my satsang journey, a lot comes to mind, especially in Balika Mandal. I quickly realized that it was because of Rakhi Ben, Seema Ben, Nidhi Ben, who took the time to really connect with us, to connect with all the Balikas. And I still vividly remember after Sabha, they would help us with homework. And it was just a great thing to see, right? Mm-hmm. At that time, they're also Yuvtis. They have plans after with their friends, but they took 1 to 2 hours after Sabha to sit with us, to connect with us, you know, to do gammat with us, to talk to us in our language. And those are still memories that still stick out to me today. And it comes from a genuine nature. You know, it's not something that can be taught. It really came from the heart.
Oh, yeah, that's such like an older sister, younger sister type of dynamic. Someone, you know for a long period of time. And it's amazing. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, definitely. And then I moved on to Kishori Mandal, and that same connection followed through. I was quite fond of Kishori Satsang training, and I was quick to realize that KST was not only something where I got spiritual nourishment from, but was also something that I learned how to build my life, you know, soft skills from. The KST presenters really catered to us in their way. You know, whatever abilities that they had, they were able to sort of present that in a way that we were able to connect to.
Shivani, I'm glad you bring that up, because it's not only about spiritual growth. It's about those soft skills that we also learned that we can take into our careers. These Haribhaktas, they're not only helping us grow and develop in satsang. They're taking that extra step to help us grow as individuals in this world.
Yeah, and a really big part of that was the mentorship program that came from KST. I was paired up with Radhika Ben, who was also studying to be a PA at that time. And she had a life of her own, yet she helped me plan out my schedule of what classes to take, what extracurriculars I need to focus on, you know? And that's something that is daunting at that time, because when you're a Kishori, you're learning how to, you know, plan for college, and it's daunting. It's definitely overwhelming. So to have these Haribhaktas in my corner, it really, you know, helped me a lot.
And I'm sure like Campus Divari, Campus Sabha, those types of events where you got to get together with other Kishoris also probably had an impact on you, right? Continuing that growth and development outside of just like mandir.
Right. And a big part of that was, you know, now that I reflect back, whether it's Balika Mandal, Kishori Mandal, to even being a Yuvti right now, it's always been the Haribhaktas that have helped, you know, connect and bridge that gap between us.
I just want to do a quick call out now of what type of qualities and values we see in other Haribhaktas that we want to emulate.
For me, I think it's selflessness and compassion. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah. Compassion's a really big one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important to understand that it's through Hari Bhaktos that Maharaj and Swami are doing their karya. The three big qualities that I think of off the top of my head are Samp, Dhanipanu, and Samarpan. And just kind of following through with Samp, there's one specific yuti who stands out in my head who really had a huge impact, not just in my satsang growth, but also my life. So I come from a very small mandal. So, we knew each other. And even though as the years went on, the mandal grew, we were still like a tight-knit family. And so when you grow up like that in your mandal, it feels very homey. It's such an important part of having that togetherness, relying on anybody on a day-to-day on a Sunday. I moved from Philadelphia to LA, which is huge
Yeah, that's
because
a
LA is
huge
a
change.
large mandal. And that was really hard because it was a part of my life when I had just graduated undergrad. I was coming out here for grad school. Earlier in the year, my dad had passed away, and I was newly engaged. So there were a lot of changes in my life happening at that time. And moving to a new city, also difficult. And of course, a new mandal because your yuti mandal jumping from 5 to like 25, like it's a lot. I felt lost in like this big realm of things. So, and I think that's like an experience that a lot of yutis are probably feeling in this part of their life right now.
Definitely.
But there was one yuti who, really reached out to me and made me feel welcome. It all started because, even though those first few months I was in grad school, schoolwork was a lot. I'd come to Sunday for sabha, but I would come like after I finished studying. And so I'd have like, maybe an hour's, which I would just spend in the mandir, just enjoying the peace, do darshan, and then I would leave. So my interaction with really anybody was very minimal. And I think this yuti, Shreya Ben, noticed that. And so she was like, okay, like I know her, like what's going on? And so I remember, geographically speaking, of course, living in LA, everything's spread out. Like if somebody's gonna travel over two highways to get to you, that says something about them already. So she was like, hey, Ethel, what are you doing? Like, I'm in your neighborhood. I'm gonna come over. And I was like, okay, sure. So she came over, we had dinner. It was nice. A few weeks later, I remember she was like, hey, X, Y, and Z yuthi are also around. Like, do you wanna go grab ice cream? Like, let's go do something. And I was like, yeah, I got to meet other yuthis. And so it was a nice way to kind of branch out. Her dad had also passed away earlier that year. And I think a part of her kind of knew what I was feeling. And she kind of wanted to keep us connected. And so she was pretty much that puzzle piece of me not feeling lost in yuthi mandal and connecting me to the bigger mandal. And so for her, I'm really grateful for that because I look back, even though it's 10 years ago, and I'm thinking, if she hadn't have done that, where would I be? And not to say that I wouldn't be in satsang. Of course, we're in some way, shape, or form, we'll always be connected. But it was taking that extra step to make me feel like I was welcome here, but also I was a part of the family here in LA. And so because she had that huge impact on me at that time of my initial move here, I often think about like the newer yuthis who are coming in, or even like younger Brahmavatis who have moved across the country. It's now I kind of see it in my eyes that, hey, I want to reach out to them to make them feel in this larger part of their family.
Shreya Ben, she went that extra 1%. And I think as satsangis and as Hari Bhaktos, that 1% can make all the difference in everything we do. Whether it's life, seva, or connection to satsang, that's the part that really binds us all together and
Yeah,
creates that lasting impact.
definitely. And I think when Hari Bhaktas do something like this, you're never going to forget it. And it pushes you to also be the anchor for someone else going through a similar process.
And not just her, but like the countless Hari Bhaktos from this mandir. I mean, I've gotten to know so many of the yuthis who have just shared their experience of how hard it was to get this mandir. I'm sure you both of you know, but it wasn't easy. And when this land was acquired for mandir to be built, and it started building, there was a period of time when the neighboring community and people around were like, hey, do we really want this? Like, what is this? And why is it happening here in Chino Hills? And so, that kind of put a little bit of the city council to start to question, hey, is this something that's right for our community? And so there was a hearing for that, of course. And at that time, you know, they pretty much voted that, sure, you guys can start building your mandir, but your height is not going to exceed the 42 feet.
I remember that.
And of course, for Shikharbad mandir is based on the Shastras, it has to be 78 feet. And that's the way that our mandirs are built, according to the Shastras. So the Hari Bhaktos kind of like took a step back and were like, hey, what are we going to do now? Like, yeah, we need to call Bapa, because if we can't continue this building and it's not going to be to height, like, are they going to alter the height, or mm-hmm. do we just stop here? So Hari Bhaktos called Bapa, thinking that, hey, maybe he's going to tell us to go find like some other land. Of course, that wasn't the case. He said, continue to build, but keep the mandir open for the community. Mm-hmm. Let them see what we're doing and what we're about. And so Hari Bhaktos worked tirelessly around the clock to make this happen. So I know there was a yuthi at the time there, Shika Ben. Mm-hmm. She had essentially kind of planned like a yuthi or kishori would be paired with like a brimbati. Mm-hmm. And they'd go around the neighborhood just explaining what the mandir is, the impact that it's going to have, the community efforts in the area. And so, you know, the brimbati yuthi couple, like, they would go. And then at the end of the day, her mom would have a hot meal ready to feed all the volunteers.
Yeah.
And this wasn't like a project that went on for a month. Like, this was like months on end yeah. throughout this entire process. And so, you know, they did that on a Sunday or Saturday weekend basis to really show the community what this mandir is. And towards the end, there was that last vote that, do we want this mandir to continue? And, you know, can we let them build to the extent that they need to? And one of our yuthis at the time, Forumben, she was chosen to speak. And that's a lot of weight sitting on your shoulders, especially at such a young age, that, hey, yes, Maharaj and Swami are doing this, but to a certain extent, this is a lot that's sitting on my shoulders. But, you know, she like executed that perfectly, along with like mm-hmm. some of the other Hari Bhaktos who are involved legally. And because of that, the mandir was built. And I mean, when you think of that in itself, like what it took to get this mandir built, like, you see it in these Hari Bhaktos' eyes that this mandir is theirs. Like, they're living this out day to day on a Sunday to Sunday basis because they know the struggle that it took to have this mandir.
Definitely. I mean, when you were talking about the hearing, I didn't even know Forumben was, you know, such a huge part of it. I was a balika at that time, and all I remember was everyone having a mara in their hand and just doing dhun constantly. Mm-hmm. But you don't know all these efforts that these yuftis did or these Hari Bhaktos put into making our mandir. And it really comes to show that they have made this mandir their own, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it really goes back to, right, the dhoni parni that you mentioned at the beginning. Like, we want to emulate that in our lives. You know, having that ownership of progress, having that ownership of, you know, the mandir here and making it feel like our home, a place where we can thrive. Absolutely. I'm glad both of you brought up the whole LA height permission situation, because I remember I was a kishori. So like 13-year-old, you know, doesn't know what she's doing. you're just getting into high school, figuring out what you want to do for your career. And I think that was my first experience with like the legal side of things. And I saw our Hari Bhaktos who were involved with the legal side of things, and I was inspired by them. You know, they were willing to take their professional skills in their career and use that for the mandir and for satsang. And, you know, eventually, obviously that had an impact because now I'm a lawyer, but it just was, I just think about like how many years ago that was. Yeah. And I just see the impact those Hari Bhaktos had on me. They set the example. They set the standard. And just, it came from their heart. And that's what stood out to me, is these Hari Bhaktos, they weren't just doing it because they were the ones who got called upon. They were speaking from their heart in that city council meeting. They were, you know, going on the weekends to go talk to the individuals out in the community as well.
Mm-hmm. And it also reminds me of, you know, in 2017, Mansai Maharaj was here for Vichran. Mm-hmm. And this is more of an example of Samarpan and how one of our yuthis just really exemplified, not only exemplified it, but I think just went above and beyond. And if we put ourselves in her shoes, I'm not sure we would make those same calls. But so in 2017, we had the Suvarnathula, of course. Mm-hmm. And so that's when people were just giving up gold jewelry things to offer to Hare Krishna Maharaj. And we had a new Yuthi, Siddhi Ben, at the time. I think it was maybe less than a year that they moved from Dubai to LA. Mm-hmm. So they were new to the mandal. They were just kind of getting established. And then when she was asked, hey, do you have anything or is there anything that you'd like to donate? She was like, yeah, absolutely. And she actually took off her wedding band, engagement ring. And I remember like it was like specially engraved with her, date and her name and everything on there. And she gave that up. And then after having a conversation with her husband, like from that conversation, he also gave up his wedding band and his wedding jewelry too. And I like went back to her and I asked her, I was like, hey, what made you decide that you wanted to do that? And she had said that this was like the first time that she was doing Baba's darshan mm-hmm. in LA, that she never has seen him and been able to have that darshan mm-hmm. and that he's coming all the way to LA. So she feels like he's coming to her home. So what can she give up for him? And mind you, like, you know, they haven't even established themselves. I think they were like still renting, but these were their prized possessions of what they had, mm-hmm. their small investment. But she said that, you know, these things are replaceable, but Swami's Rajibol isn't.
Wow.
And that was pretty, that's profound. Intense. Yeah, it's profound because at that time, in that moment, you're not thinking like that. You're really thinking about, okay, securing like our lives mm-hmm. in the future or even like the next few months. But even if they were to lose everything, they knew that they were willing to give that up to Mansai Maharaj. So that level of samarpan and understanding and that time and period of her life is pretty astounding.
Yeah. I think a big part of that, when you mentioned Siddhi Ben, if it were me, I would have to ask myself, okay, like, should I? Or, you know, I would have that moment of doubt or should I do it or not? For her to just drop everything and make that decision, get like mare karuche for Swami, it's that mindset, you know, and that's mm-hmm. really inspiring to see.
Yeah.
I love where this discussion is going with all the values and qualities of Hari Bhaktos that have been inspiring us. But let's talk a little bit about how our Guru Parampara inspires us.
Yeah, so I want to share a prasang. This is from 2001. So this was an India trip prasang. So I was getting ready to go to India trip, which was very exciting, of course. First time going to India without parents, like it's just us kids. Definitely an experience that I hope everybody had. You've gone to India trip, right?
So you were Balika during this time?
Yes. So we were Balikas. It was, I think, seventh and eighth graders.
Oh my gosh.
Eighth graders going into high school.
We were Kishoris, right?
Yeah, we were, you know, done with college. So as a Balika, that's a different experience.
Definitely.
For sure.
Which, yeah, exactly. Why this prasang that's upcoming is like, it just like going back, it's crazy. So essentially we had a 3-day Shibir in Bochasan mm-hmm. with Baba. And there were different Sadhguru Santals they were presenting. And there was one presentation, I think it might have been like day 3, but it was right after lunch. And it was Mansai Maharaj who was doing the presentation. It was called Swami Shri, Our Best Friend. Mm. So at this time, you know, we just finished lunch. We're like getting up there. It's like, you know, you just had India lunch, Darbat, like that, that full heaviness of a meal. And like the lights are dim, like he has this really nice, you know, those old, I don't know if you guys remember, but there were overhead projectors where it's like the little screens, and it was cute. Like he had this little text and little like illustrations. It was really nice. Mm-hmm. But it had just gone on for a little bit, you know, and I think over time it was hitting everybody a little bit differently. So people started to nod off, and I think the Baliks and Balikas just slowly...
Oh my God!
But you know, Swami concluded his presentation, and then like we went on like with our trip. And I remember a few days later, we were getting off the bus, and our Sanchalak had said, "Hey, we have a letter from Mansai Maharaj," and it was actually an apology letter.
Oh my God!
It was an apology letter written to us, and he in that letter he had pretty much said that I'm sorry that my presentation was long, or, you know, I don't really cater to like such a younger crowd, especially in English. So please forgive me. And at that time, like as a Balika, you're just like, oh, wow, like a Sadhguru Sant like wrote this letter, like he shouldn't have done that, you know, and then we're going on with our eighth grade lives in India. And, you know,
you don't think much about it.
Yeah. And now when I look back, it's like, wait, Once my Maharaj like hand wrote this letter to us apologizing, like what does he have to apologize for? It's like on us. And so that really shows you who Mansai Maharaj is. Mm-hmm. I think like we look at the qualities of a guru and, you know, we're able to list them off, but that was so personal that now when I look back at that smriti and like do manan upon it, it has a different impact for me now than it did as that eighth grader.
Definitely. I mean, that's the famous prasang that we hear about in sabhas. I didn't know you were on the interview.
Yeah, and just the humility of the whole situation, right? Like you weren't expecting it. Mm-hmm. And your guru took the step to like talk to you and say like, I'm sorry.
When it wasn't even his fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Hetalben, you talked about your India trip experience and it sort of brings back memories from when I went this past year in 2024. Mm-hmm. We were, you know, we got Kathalab from various santos just, you know, telling us what to expect on this trip. And I feel like it was super, I didn't think much into it, but let me tell you, listener discretion, I was humbled. I suffered from really bad diarrhea. It was intense. Just coming back from South India, I went 8 times on the flight.
Ah.
It was only like an hour and 40 minutes and I went 8 times.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh.
Yikes. It was insane. And to make matters worse, we were sitting in roll call order. So it was me sitting in front and 60 other girls behind, just getting a show of me running to the bathroom and running back to my seat. But fortunately, I was treated by one of our other IT girls, Jaina Ben, from Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
She's a PA right now, but we called her Dr. J. You know, she carried this huge medication bag. It had nausea medication, constipation, you know, diarrhea, anything. She had it all. But luckily, you know, my symptoms were treatable. Unfortunately, some girls fell super ill during Sarangpur to the point where they were bedridden.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They, you know, simple acts of just getting up and using the restroom would just win them out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary, you know. You're in a different country. You don't have your village to take care of you. You're stuck with 60, you know, girls that you don't have that built-in relationship with. It was a scary process. But Jaina Ben, Pratiksha Ben, Sina Ben, these are all Hari Bhaktas who, you know, sacrifice their experience to take care of all these girls. And I don't know about you, but Sarangpur isn't a place you want to miss at all. We would get Kathalab from Motera Santo like Atmatrup Swami, Anand Swarup Swami, and other Motera Santo. And they, Jaina Ben, Sina Ben, Pratiksha Ben, they would tirelessly just stay with these girls and take care of them, you know, and it's a lifetime experience. When are you ever going to come to India with 60 girls from across the nation? It's definitely, it was moving to see, you know, and a big part of it kind of showed what kind of Hari Bhaktas we have in our sansta. That, you know, this is a true spirit of service, how they're able to sort of give back to one another without expecting anything in return. And when I look back on this whole situation, it's really hard to be there for someone when you don't have a prior relationship with,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's 60 girls and you're willing to drop everything to take care of them. I mean, that just shows, you know, what kind of people they are.
Yeah, and I'm sure you met only some of them like at the beginning of the trip, right? Like you didn't know them even before. Like you just hopped on a plane and you're like, let's
exactly,
go.
Exactly. So, and that really fueled the sort of atmosphere around India trip, right? We saw that these three individuals were sort of picking up the slack and taking care of one another. And that sort of motivated, you know, all of us to do the same because three people couldn't essentially get around to 60 people.
Right.
And that's not fair, you know? And it sort of uplifted everyone to do the same. If someone was feeling homesick, you had to be that village for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the sisterhood that just came out of this whole trip, I think it was truly amazing.
Yeah, and Shivani Bin, that goes back to like, in the joy of others lies our own. And in the progress of others lies our own. And that India trip experience, I also went on an India trip in 2019. And
wow.
I can attest that like it was the same experience. You know, it was all one big sisterhood. But the idea that our joy lies in lies in others is something that has stuck with me and something that we live through every single part of our day. it's not just like a phrase, right? That one-liner that we keep repeating. It's a lifestyle that we cultivate. I can say that even beyond mandir and satsang, mm-hmm. like in the workplace, when you're working with a large team, there's always, you know, maybe that one person who's a little bit of a doubter, mm-hmm. someone who, you know, is like, well, what if this doesn't happen, this, that, yeah. and you sense that negativity from them, right? Mm-hmm. It kind of just becomes this like black hole pit of negativity and it can bring you down. But I've also noticed that it's the same thing with positivity. Mm-hmm. When you have that one person who just dedicates themselves to be like blindly positive and mm-hmm. just optimistic all the time, no matter what happens to the team, it becomes this positive feedback loop. And I thoroughly believe that positivity is one of those positive feedback loops.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And sometimes I think about it and I wonder if no one stepped up during that moment, the trip would have been much different from, you know,
oh, yeah.
from what it was. So these Hari Bhaktos, they're all around us, right? Even across the nation, within our local region, they're everywhere. And it's just a matter of, you know, finding them. And when I think about it, really, when I think about where this all started from, a prasang about Sevakram comes to mind. And it was when Neel Kanwarni was doing his yatra and he came across Sevakram, as we know. Sevakram was selfish. Neel Kanwarni cooked for him, cleaned his soiled clothes, all of this stuff, selflessly served him without expecting anything in return. And when we think about it, our sansta has been built off of this one ideal of just selflessly giving back. And we can see that through our guru parampara, even Hari Bhaktos, you know, that service, it's fueled all around.
Yeah, and we don't have to go all the way to India or across the world to see that, right? It's everywhere. Like, yeah. It's even here, right here at our mandir. See, I'm glad both of you mentioned your stories about India trip and just having this sisterhood and this group or this team everywhere in our lives, because it really brings us back to the idea that positivity exudes in the space. Now, I think we're at the next part of our conversation here, where we're going to talk about where we feel grounded, where we feel a sense of home. What does mandir mean to you?
Mandir means connectedness. I think it's the one place and constant in our life that no matter where you are, location, you know, part of your life, it kind of gives you that peace within. So even if you're in a different city, traveling, you go visit a mandir, it's something about like a feeling of yours and feeling that, you know, warmth within. It reminds me, like, right after undergrad, mm-hmm. I decided to do a 4-month internship in South Africa just to kind of figure out, you know, I was like, what should I do with my life? There's like a few career mm-hmm. choices, but let me go and, you know, do something and see if I like it and maybe I'll do that. It was a great trip. I came back and so then I started to figuring out, okay, I have to take, you know, these grad exams to get into so-and-so schools. So I started that process of kind of hunkering down, studying. And so later in that fall, my dad was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, mm-hmm. which is a blood cancer. And that kind of stopped a lot of life in that mm-hmm. moment for us and our family. Sure. We really didn't know, like, what does that mean looking forward from here? So I remember very specifically that day that my dad was diagnosed. My mom sat us down in like the hospital bed, my brother and my hand, and she said, "We'll get through this because we have Bapa."
Oh, wow.
And so it's a very simple thing to say, and I think like we say it a lot in a lot of circumstances, but at that point it was such a powerful message to me, because throughout that entire year of his journey, just going back to that message of, you know, having Swami Bapa will get through this, prayed so much forth in that journey. You know, and of course that changed our lives. I mean, when I think of mandir too, I think of the Hari Bhakta and the community that we gather from there. So once my dad was sick, then it became, okay, well, surgeries after surgeries, chemo, like we're not going out in public. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Hari Bhaktos found a way to like, let's do it, keep an audio feed so my dad can watch or we won't miss our Sunday Sabha.
That's amazing.
Wow. Let's do, like, Santhals would call him every day. They would come visit him in the hospital. Like, it was just, hey, we're thinking of you, let's do Prarthana together. You know, there was even a certain time where he didn't have a bone marrow match. So you know, not being able to find a match for the bone marrow, the Mandir and BAPS charities locally, we had a bone marrow drive. And then that just kind of spread through the Northeast in different centers, not just for my dad, but really the bone marrow drive in general for other people as well. And then, you know, when it came to time for his funeral, there was not much that we had to really think of. Like, our Hari Bhaktos just kind of swept in and did everything. And there wasn't as much of the extra thought of trying to figure it out alone. But I mean, this is what community is. This is what a satsangi family does. You know, we are there to step in at people's most time of need. And that I saw that firsthand. And yeah, it was a really hard year. I mean, year and a half of like going through this. And there were definitely times throughout the surgeries of like, okay, what's going to happen next? Like, what are we going to do? And of course, at that point, your faith slightly falters a little bit, but because you're frustrated, you're also like, do not know what's that next, you know, tomorrow or like the next week. What does that mean? What does that bring? But it took me back again to like what my mom said, that we have Swami Bapa and we will get through this. So even at the time where I felt like I was losing, like having a little bit of disconnect, you know, my satsangi family was there to bring me up and to really that engage in satsang and keep me together during that hard time.
Hitobin, you have shared with us just this journey that you had, right, with your father's illness and all of that. Like, you have shown an immense amount of strength.
You know, even fast forwarding to today, I think, like, with the fires, the Eaton fire that just went back, you know, that was huge for us. We essentially had to leave our house so we could see the fire from our window. Like, you see this mountain slowly burning, and we're like, okay, we got to get out. And so we, you know, my husband and I, we took our two daughters, my mom, and we, like, left. We got out of there. We had a safe place to go to. But, I mean, I can't say that for a lot of people. But even when we were at that safe place, you know, we were just like glued to our phones, seeing like, okay, what's happening? This is a pretty fast moving fire. Nobody expected for it to get to where it was at that point. You know, we also started to feel for our neighbors and our community. Essentially, an entire town was wiped. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, our home was safe, but it really put a lot of things into perspective, because at that point, we felt really helpless. Like, we're here in a safe space and our community is not. They need us. So what can we do to help? And I think that's where, like, our local BAPS charities really came in, because within that next day, they were able to mobilize. We got some things that we needed, like water, care kits, things like that, where we then were able to deliver to our Pasadena community. And it felt good because, you know, a lot of times when we think about these disasters around the world, we feel sympathy, but until it's like at your doorstep, like knocking at you, you don't really know what to do. And I think we have a great example of that, like in Pramukh Sai Maharaj in 2001, you know, that Bhuj earthquake devastated Gujarat. Like, it devastated Gujarat.
Yeah.
And in that short period of time, you know, Bapa set up like, I don't know, like over 40,000, like, people were fed, all these people who were affected. But it was that quick thinking and that being able to realize that seva happens not just within the four walls of a mandir. I think we come on a Sunday to Sunday and we're like, whatever happens in here, that's it. Now, you know, you go on with your life. But, you know, these are the things, the service that, you know, Swami has given us the opportunity to provide more, because we need to do more outside. So, yeah, I mean, we look at Pramukh Sai Maharaj as an example of that.
And I'm really glad you brought up the example of like the Bhuj earthquake. I think part of that blessing also had that Pramukh Sai Maharaj reminded folks to include the nail clippers, you know, things that we wouldn't necessarily think you need right after a disaster. He took that extra level of effort to think, like, what would you need, you know, like a week or two after a disaster. So is that attention to detail?
Yeah, that. And also, I remember Pramukh Sai Maharaj, the people who preferred spicy food, to also incorporate marchas. Like, who thinks about that, you know? Like, we would, if it were me, it would be like, either take it or leave it, you know? But for Bapa to have that attention to detail is just insane. And Hitobin, for you to think about your community when you're going through something so, you know, tragic, is just inspiring. You put your community before, and all this stuff is happening to you real time. And what you did for your community, I think that's just insane.
I remember you even took your two young girls, right? Both under the age of 5 to go volunteer as well. So
yeah,
it really was like a whole family experience, right. You know?
Hetelben, you mentioned, you know, your story and your upbringing, you know, going to college and experiencing all this stuff reminds me of like the position that I'm in right now. I'm at a stage in life where, you know, I finished undergrad. I'm thinking about grad school, more specifically PA school. And there's so many uncertainties in my life at this point of where am I going to go to school? You know, where am I going to end up? Am I going to get into PA school? It's hard, right? But one thing that has been keeping me grounded is that everything has a time, place, and purpose, that everything happens for a reason. And I give a big credit to all of the youthies around me who are a source of inspiration, who have gone through similar battles, you know, of just balancing everything. And it's quite inspiring seeing how they can leave everything up to Swami Sri after putting in their full Purusharth, right? And when I see them on a Sunday to Sunday basis, it's sort of like a reminder that I'm going to get through this, you know, that anything is possible. And they're living proof of if they could do it, I can do it.
Shivani, Ben, you said something so like impactful right there. Time, place, purpose. Those three things together. And when we look at our lives about the time, the place, and the purpose, I think it's that larger like connection that we have to satsang, right? Everything in satsang has a time, place, and purpose. We might feel like it's a trial or something that's, you know, like coming in our way. It's a lot of strife, but it has that time, place, and purpose. I hear you on the going to grad school and all of that. I remember I went to undergrad down here in SoCal. But when it was time for me to go to law school, I decided to pick a school up north, so in NorCal. So it's still in state, but it's still a ways away. And I remember my big question in my head was like, how am I going to balance satsang? I'm an only child, so it's really just my parents and I. We're a very like tight-knit family. And as they get older, you know, like caretaking responsibilities, all those things start to add on to your plate. You know, basically just being an adult with responsibilities. And I was thinking like, how am I gonna still be a part of the family, be part of satsang, while also like moving forward in the next step of my life, which is getting my law degree. And so I remember, luckily for the first 2 years, like we're kind of online hybrid because of COVID, but that last year I made a decision on the whim. I decided to stack like all 5 of my classes on one day. And I decided not to live up in SF. I would fly like on the 5 a.m. flight from LAX, do classes all day, and then be back on that like 10:30 p.m. flight, just so I could make Sunday sabah. I could be with my parents 6 out of 7 of the days. At that time, I was like definitely stressed. I was like, I'm gonna do this for 11 weeks. Like this semester is gonna drag. But I realized that like it was only because Maharaj and Swami had dictated that this was the time, the place, and my purpose was that. They knew that it would work out. Even though on paper and when you talk about it, it sounded crazy to just go fly back and forth.
Yeah.
Like they were the ones holding me through that. And they were the ones who put that situation in my life.
Yeah, definitely. And I would scroll through Ashiben's like Instagram and I would see on her story, it would just be, you know, that aesthetic picture of the flight and like the wing and
Southwest napkin,
yeah, right,
train,
exactly,
and
exactly.
Ginger ale
and like not knowing the story, like yeah, the deeper story behind it. Like I had no idea you were balancing all this stuff, but I mean that's also inspiring. As you grow older, I think you start to wear more hats, if anything. And you mentioned how you wanted to be there for your family as well, and you decided to take on everything, and you made it work.
Well, thank you, Shiva. Yeah, no, I mean, I sit here and I reflect on it, like, also perspective on this. Like, my dad has a long-term illness that affects his, like, ability to do things on a daily basis. And so it really is a strain between, like, at times, like, between my mom and I, you know, being those caretakers. And as a youthy, like, I was kind of stuck, right? Like, how do I fulfill my obligations to my family, but also move forward with the careers, the dreams that, like, my parents want for me? And, you know, with their love and support and with, like, Maharaj and Swami, like, it really did become possible. Yeah, the flights were, like, fun and it was nice. Like, it was a change of pace, like, on a Wednesday, like, every week. But I think it brought me closer, you know, even though I was physically having to go away from my family, it brought me closer to my family and it brought me closer to satsang because that was my constant, you know, through all of it, you know, through flight delays or change of schedules and all of that. Like it really worked out at the end of it. I just have to say that.
It always does. That's the end picture, right? We don't know the process, and the process might be a little tough, but everything will always work out in the end.
Yeah.
To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And a huge thank you to our two guests here today, Shivani Ben and Hithal Ben, for joining us in a meaningful conversation. Remember, the powerful role of Hari Bhaktos in inspiring others and creating a lasting impact within our Mandir community is possible through humility and dhani burning. This is the torch we strive to carry forward. If you have any questions or suggestions for future topics, please fill out the feedback form in the description below. Join us next time as we continue to have real, relevant, and meaningful conversations. Thank you, and Jai Swaminarayan.